Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, episode number 423. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company's senior SEO, Scott Van Ack. Happy 2022. Holy cow, I can't believe it's halfway through the month already of January.
It's crazy how time flies. Happy New Year to you. I can't talk. We were talking about this earlier. I'm just like bumbling over all my words. I don't know. Maybe that's my 2022 issue.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
For me, it's sleep. I just seem to be getting about half my night's sleep these days. So ends up making for some really brilliant moves. like shocking myself at how stupid I can be. Anyways, it's a good bodes well for the good year, for a good year.
I think actually that this year is actually going to be a good year. I had a kind of a good omen this morning, and my chair got stuck on something, and I rolled out of the way, and I was on a quarter, and I picked it up, and a random quarter on my floor from 1963, Canadian quarter from back when they still used silver, real silver. Looked it up, and it's worth about $4.
So, no way.
So I found a $4 quarter on my floor. Like, come on, that's got to be a good sign, right?
That's you, though. Like, you're one of the only people I know who seems to win contests and gets flown to places. And
it's true. We've had some good luck. The only thing is, like, am I really going to sell this quarter? Like, it's going to cost me more in gas to drive to a guy that's going to buy it for maybe $2. So it's just going to sit on my shelf.
Hold on to it. There you go. Well, yeah. We're high time to catch up on SEO news, and there's lots going on. We were a little surprised that it has, I don't know, it's been a little light on the news angle, but let's just jump right into this. So Google search ranking update on January 11th, yet another unconfirmed update, but you know, Barry at Search Engine Roundtable does a good job of keeping track of these. And there is some buzz going around that there was an update. There seems to be a lot of fluctuation, some action out there. Whether or not it'll be an official update is a whole other thing entirely.
Yeah, I've started doing some digging. I looked into, so this update was apparently on January 11th. I've done some digging into our client rankings and their organic traffic. And you know, we've got one client in Australia and his traffic jumped about 10%, but there's not enough data to really know if there's a connection or not. And 10% isn't, you know, extreme by any means. Other than that, you know, all the clients that I've looked at, you wouldn't know that there was an update based on their rankings or traffic. So not to say there wasn't an update, but I'm not really seeing much of an impact of that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so 10%. The other thing too is, of course, it's so early that it's interesting to know that, but is it really going to pan out over the long term? Who knows? Oftentimes, well, what we see is going to solidify or is going to stabilize.
But not exactly. Always. Like, I think if we look into it in about a week or so, it'll be a better indication. You know, if there's a sustained growth of that 10%, well, then okay, I can maybe attribute it to a ranking update. But if it is just a one day thing, well, it's just nothing really.
Yeah, it's a blip. Not a bad one, but it's a blip. So as I had predicted in an earlier show, there is now a Yoast SEO for Shopify. Now, I may or may not have heard about that before it came out, but it's just the same. I wasn't supposed to know anything. So anyway, it is coming to Shopify and it's long overdue. Even before I even had the thought of it, I just kind of expected it was there and I was shocked when it wasn't. So I'm happy to hear it's coming. It's released. It will be released on January 18th. And it looks like it's $30 a day, $30 a month. Is that right?
Yeah. So the cost is being listed as, I think this is on either the Yoast press release or it might've been on Search Engine Land somewhere, that the cost is $29 per 30 days. So that kind of seems like a pain in the butt billing process there, but you know, a little under a buck a day. I find interesting there with the cost is they don't have a free version like you do, you know, everyone on WordPress uses free, but I get why they might not because it's a whole new market, but it's also significantly more expensive than Yoast for WordPress. I think for Yoast Premium, it's about $100 a year US.
Mm-hmm.
So this is about three times as much money, but yeah. I also don't know what programming is involved in the back end to make it work with Shopify. Maybe it's just, you know, exponentially more difficult for them to program it and, you know, the cost is warranted. I'm not sure.
Could be some royalty fees to Shopify. Who knows?
Yeah, there could be all kinds of stuff going on there. So, but it is cool to know. You know, we have some clients who use Smart SEO in Shopify, and I'll be curious to see if I decide to recommend that they make the switch or not. Once it's live, you know, maybe one of our clients has a dev site we can test it on or something. We'll see. It sounds very promising, though. It's so awesome for WordPress. I can't see why people wouldn't want to use it for Shopify.
Yeah, I mean, it's early on. Now Yoast was bought, and it's a much more, well, not that it wasn't before, but now it's got a bigger pockets. So it's possible that unlike most first releases that they've already worked out a lot of bugs, but then again, who knows? So keep that in mind. There may be a lot of bugs at the beginning, may not. Keep your ear to the ground. If you have a Shopify site, $30, whatever, let's say a month, the hell are they thinking anyway, $30 a month is not bad at all, right? Especially, and I think this makes sense from their point of view too, is we're talking e-commerce here. You're going to be making money off it a little more directly than just a simple WordPress website.
I guess that's true. You know, if you talk about WordPress websites, Yoast is on a lot of blogs that may not be monetized. So people aren't going to pay $30. It's just not going to happen. But on
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Commerce site, $20 is nothing if the site is successful, that is.
yeah, and hopefully anyone with a website and e-commerce, you know, $30 is nothing to your bottom line, even if you're starting out. You got to have some kind of budget for startup. Anyway, now this next one really kind of boggled me. I had never even heard of this before, but I'll let you handle it.
Yoast has now integrated keyword tracking within the WordPress plugin using rankings provided by Wincher. And I feel bad. I've never heard of Wincher. I don't know. I know Wincher's website pricing is all in euros. So maybe they're big in the UK. I don't know. Hopefully their rankings are good. They look promising. I'm not sure who this will really apply to, how many people are going to take advantage of this though. But if you have a Wincher account and you're using it, it kind of seems like a no-brainer to integrate it. The costs may or may not be significant, again, depending on, you know, your purposes here. But if you don't pay for Wincher, there's a free option. If you don't pay for Wincher, it's kind of confusing because you've got Yoast and Wincher. And if you have the free versions of each, it doesn't really do a lot other than just playing with it. So that'll allow you to track up to 5 keywords, and you can attribute up to 1 keyword per post. So really, it's for a playground testing type purpose only at that point. If you pay for Yoast Premium, but you don't pay for Wincher, then you still only get 5 keywords, but you can track up to 5 keywords per individual post. So again, you're playing around a bit, but it's not going to be wildly useful.
That's okay, though. If you got lots of posts, 1,000 posts, is it 5,000 keywords being tracked?
No, it's only 5 keywords total across 5 different posts. If you pay for Yoast and not Wincher. If you pay for Wincher and not Yoast, then you can track a total of 10,000 keywords at 1 keyword per post. So that's where it actually starts to become useful, because you've got essentially 10,000 posts you can do some level of tracking on at 1 keyword each. And then, of course, if you pay for Yoast Premium and pay for Wincher, you can track 10,000 keywords still up to 5 keywords per post. So this is a lot of like mumbo jumbo here. But the point being, if you want to really utilize it, you kind of have to pay for both. And Wincher fees start at 29 euros per month, which I think is around $30-$35 US. I feel like it's pretty close to par.
I bet it's for every 30 days.
Every 27 days. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. And then, of course, Yoast Premium is 99. So, you know, this would make sense for somebody who's already using Wincher. If you're already using Yoast Premium, you could take some advantage of this. If you're not paying for either of those, you know, I'm not sure what Semrush charges on a, for a one site kind of basic plan, because we have an enterprise level plan, I believe. But just using Semrush might be useful. I think there's, you know, good reason for this, and there's a lot of value that can be offered from it. But, a few variables in play there.
I'm getting the feeling that Wincher is probably a tool that's part of that company that bought Yoast. Maybe that's why there's this connection all of a sudden. It all happened last year. So this is kind of coincidental. I don't know. Awfully coincidental.
I feel like I want to look into that now. You might be right. Or like they're both owned by the same umbrella company or something.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, so I found this article on Search Engine Journal, which, I'm scanning through them all as we usually do. And this one was a great, great article. Not to say that's very rare or anything like that, but this one particularly stood out for me. It's by Brandon Gale. Thanks, Brandon, for a great article. And the title is 25 Unique SEO Tactics That Deliver Big Results. Catchy, I guess, but other than many that I read, this one actually seems to deliver on some really good ideas. I am not covering all of them, but here are some that really stood out. First idea is to create highly linkable original research posts by polling Facebook groups. So as I understood this, again, this is my skimming of the article, but you would go to Facebook groups that you're part of, poll people a particular question that's of interest in one that you're researching, get the responses, and do that across different Facebook groups, and then create an original research article showing the results of each one in each group. Pretty interesting. I think that would be kind of cool. or to simply aggregate them all. But it'd be very timely. You could probably infer some information out of there that would make it even more interesting and more linkable. Number two is write posts on the most searched industry stats in your niche. So assuming you have a niche, you know, what are people looking for stats? And if you find them, try to assemble kind of the top ones that people would be normally looking for all in one article. Number three, get passive links year round by ranking position one for low competition phrases. This one made me puzzle a little bit, but I looked into it. And apparently, who is it here? A study by, and this, I'm quoting him here, a study by Ahrefs looked at 10,000 non-branded keywords and found that position one on Google receives a median of 24 do follow back links every year. Pretty interesting. So, you know, it may be low competition, not super searched, but still has some teeth. Getting a number one ranking for that can lead to fairly simple link building.
Which would definitely have that effect of the more important phrases ranking.
Exactly. It really does help bolster your overall authority and allow you to get the rankings you really want. So that's a good idea. Do interviews on podcasts with high domain authority sites. And I've thought about doing this for the podcast, but our podcast, but it doesn't really make sense. But you could interview different high domain authorities, owners of different sites and get them to link to the podcast or your podcast. I don't know which one this is, but both make sense. You could be interviewed on past podcasts with high domain authority sites and they'll link to you. That's probably more like what they're thinking. Next, promote your most linkable asset with targeted paid ads. Good idea. Yeah, if you have something that you find has had legs, it seems to get links, let's do some paid ads to it. See if you can get some more at a much less cost than trying to do any kind of manual premium link building. Keyword tips is a whole section that I'm skipping. Not to say there wasn't any good ideas here. It was just a little more detailed. I'm going to get some water here first. Next up, for posts that rank number 3 to 10, add more content to the tail end of posts to safely move up the rankings. Another solid idea. Something we should probably do, although our articles are so old now. But, you know, getting into them and then maybe adding more to the tail end that you think could help push it up a bit, go for it. You still maintain the overall layout of that original article that, you know, was deeply thought out, hopefully. and then you're just adding value. So it does have an opportunity to potentially move up. The next one, write 40 to 50 word paragraphs to rank for more featured snippets. This may or may not work, but yeah, I mean, look at how a particular article was written. If you're going to look back at old ones, see if there's any ways to make specific paragraphs more concise and also highly relevant to a potential featured snippet. Now, this is all kind of its own science there. You could read a lot about how to get your own featured snippets. And I do suggest that if you want to go that route. But yeah, it's a solid idea. And you could even write a new article that is focused on that.
I feel like that's just good common sense as well, because, you know, you start to get these longer paragraphs and people get lost in them. They don't care. I feel like small digestible paragraphs is just naturally good writing to begin with.
It is. And if you wanted to do that and also really focus on the attempt to get a snippet, then you would just make it a little more information dense, let's say, or more query based. Interesting stuff. Anyway, add a frequently asked question to the end of your post, covering questions from Google's people also ask. A brilliant idea. I love that one. You know, whenever you're doing a search, you often see a thing, Google people also ask at the bottom of the article or related searches, that kind of thing. Well, perfect. Look at that and take that information and add it as an FAQ at the end of your post. Take each of those and then build on that. Use artificial intelligent SEO tools to make your post the most comprehensive post on that topic. It's a little more controversial, and you'll certainly have to play around with the various gobs of tools out there. Holy crap. Every time I turn a corner, there's a new AI SEO tool. It's a little overwhelming, but there are probably ones that are better than others, and I've yet to finally dig in and test them all, or test a good chunk of them. But they often have the ability to reformat content that you've written, or consolidate a whole bunch of content online that you can then rewrite. That's a little more controversial. But the idea here is to make a post that's based on artificial intelligence to, or that is using artificial intelligence to attempt a better result in terms of the layout and how well it'll rank. And of course, the comprehensiveness. The next one is to create stat infographics that have a 16:9 aspect ratio. I didn't read this one. I added in at the end there. I'm guessing that that will allow you to show up better in various things here. Let's see if I can find it.
It would definitely be, as infographics typically are, a bit of a link building component to that, I'm sure.
Yeah. So it says here, there are very few pieces of content that will generate backlinks and social shares like a stat infographic. Step one, do a search for topic of your Google blog post plus statistics. Step two, identify the top five most compelling stats. Step three, create a 16:9 image that highlights the stat and mentions the source. Step four, strategically place each of your stat infographics throughout your post. Pro tip, using the 16:9 aspect ratio will make your stat infographic look great on desktop and mobile. Yeah, interesting. I mean, there are a lot more. I didn't write any more down. It's 25 after all, and they all have different overall themes. I think there's three themes throughout. Anyway, highly recommend checking that out. I love that. I wouldn't say I necessarily would do as well as this, but whatever I did write for wherever it was at the time, Search Engine Guide, I think was one I was writing a lot for, I'd always try to put something really valuable together like this. And I think this guy's, I'm impressed. This is well done. All right. What is next year? Actually, you know what? Before we get into that, let's take a quick break, and we get back. We're going to talk about Google Search Console.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Step Forth Web Marketing, and my company senior SEO, Scott Van Ack. All right. Google Search Console rich result error handling updated. All right. What's this?
That's a big mouthful for not a lot. This is just another one of those little things. Google's been dealing with their reports and Search Console a lot lately and making changes. And I wanted to include it because I don't like it when people panic. And sometimes they see changes and they panic. And what's happened here is Google has changed the way it evaluates and reports errors in product structured data. And that's it. That's all they said. But typically, though, so essentially the way that Google is reporting on product structured data has changed. So you may end up seeing an increase or a decrease in errors showing up in that reporting. And so I mentioned this so that you know that if you're seeing this increase or decrease, it's not the result of something you've done to your website. If the increase in errors is, or if you've seen an increase in errors, Google's just noting more of them and you need to fix them, but nothing has actually changed. You haven't been hacked. I mean, sometimes that's, you know, the first gut reaction when you see a big change in, or a big spike in errors is that, oh, I've been hacked. What's going on? Well, no, you haven't. Or if you see a decrease in errors, it's not because someone's magically fixed them. I don't know. I don't know why you'd see a decrease necessarily, but and anyways, this happened at the end of December. So if you're seeing a change, any kind of spikes or declines in these errors, I mean, still fix them, of course, but no need to panic. Nothing's weird going on. So,
all right. Now, this was interesting. Originally, we debated where this should fall in terms of our layout here, but 12 important image SEO tips you need to know. I can remember not long ago, but it was probably 10 years ago. Oh, dear God. Doing a lot of writing about image SEO and it was really getting its feet under it, and was quite a popular topic then. it goes, it's on a kind of like a wave. It goes up and down, but this is, some of it's pretty straightforward. Everyone sort of knows it, but why don't you run through that one too?
Yeah, I just saw an article on Search Engine Journal. Oh man, I wish I could remember her name that wrote it. I feel really bad. I got it here. Anna Crow wrote it, and it caught my eye, and I thought, you know, it's a lot of it's 101 level stuff. It's basic. It's nothing groundbreaking or new here, but maybe it's things that you just don't know. So I figured she had 12 important image SEO tips listed. I'm not going to go through all 12 just because some of them aren't necessarily SEO related, but they are relevant to image stuff. But a few things here, choosing the right image format, first of all, a ping versus JPEG versus a WebP. I'll be honest, I don't really know much about WebP, except it's a good idea. But things like ping files are great if you need really high resolution, if you're, you know, maybe a photographer or something like that. You can get that better quality, but it does come at a cost where your file sizes are going to be a bit larger. So JPEG is kind of the norm. WebP, I feel like, is kind of the best of both worlds is what I gather, but I don't know much about it.
Yeah, it's pretty much taken over these days. And thankfully, because it does, I don't know much about it either in terms of I've never designed it or anything, but it's, you know, as a file format, apparently it's highly efficient for web. So that'll be good news.
Absolutely. The next one is compress images. You really want the smallest file size possible to get the quality across that you want. I often use this little stupid image editor. It's called IrfanView, and it's super easy. You open up your JPEG and you save as 80% quality or something like that. And typically, if it's for screen purposes, you don't see any difference, but the file size drops dramatically. So and of course, if you're, you know, using plugins, which is what most people will be doing, they're not going to be manually doing this. You know, WP Smush is one. I mean, there's a million. I think Kraken does image optimization, correct, for compression?
It does. I haven't used it in ages, but yeah, it does. Yeah. It does it more manually. There is a plugin too that allow you to do it.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So there's a ton of different plugin options in that, but make sure your images are compressed. Using unique images, which I never really thought of, but it obviously makes perfect sense. It's just like duplicate content. It just never really crossed my mind, really, because I'm not doing design per se. But yeah, don't just copy and paste random images online for lots of reasons. First of all, you'll run into copyright issues, of course, but having unique images, you're more likely to have them rank.
It's also going to improve the overall stickiness and appeal of your website, because who wants to see tons and tons of stock photos that we've seen everywhere else?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I love it when you go to a small business website and they've got a picture like talking about their business and a stock image of random people as if that's their staff, when it clearly isn't. You know, have a photographer come in or somebody with a new phone that actually is good. I don't know. You just get some good pictures.
Yeah, and if you don't have a big staff and you really don't have an option there, well, maybe pay a more of a premium for some, and just do it for these. You don't have to do it for all the different images you use, but for those specific key images from a really decent place like Getty Images, it's going to be more money, but because it's more money, it's going to be less often used. It won't be as ubiquitous online.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Customizing image file names. I see this happen all the time, and it's so frustrating if you can't do anything about it. Often sites will be using their content management system or CDNs, and the images come across as this big, long, random string of characters for the file names. But if you can have a file name that says, you know, red BMW or whatever, I don't know, a file name that's relevant to the image, that can help your ranking for that image. So, you know, customize the file names. Don't just have, you know, 1234 dot JPEG or whatever. Make it relevant to the image.
Also customize the one that you get when you do download a stock photo. Because you know, how many of them are just so obviously the original information from the stock company. I just don't get
it. All the time. iStock, whatever, and then 400 different numbers .jpg, you know. Yeah. It gets, happens all the time.
Yeah, the next one was the SEO-friendly alt text or alt attributes. Makes perfect sense here, right? I don't know what they mean by SEO-friendly. If you do alt attributes, that's what it's supposed to be is it's supposed to describe the image you're looking at. And it's when you add an image, there's an option to add alt attributes, just right in there. This is a picture of a red BMW.
That's I don't know why I went to red BMW, but
I like it. And this is why, and you, the reason you do that is it's meant for screen readers, for the visually disabled to get an understanding of what they could be looking at, you know, what's showing on their screen. And, but it also happens to be really good for SEO because it describes the image. So it's a win-win.
Perfect. Yes. And the next is kind of along the same lines as the file names. Having a good file structure, if you can. You know, like WordPress by default, I think is something like wp-content/uploads, which isn't great. And honestly, I should know if you can, or I'm sure you might be able to customize that if you can do it. And I'm going to look into that after this. and the same thing, if you have some CDN that you're using or other content management system, sometimes you can't customize that, but you know, do if you can. And a lot of people might not think about this for image optimization, but optimize the containing page. I think most people probably do that anyways. If you're thinking about image optimization, chances are your website is also optimized. But if you want an image to rank for a certain term, have it on a page that either ranks for that term or is at least optimized for that term, in a broad sense, at least. You know, so make sure that you know, things like title tags are relevant to the imagery on those pages and that sort of thing. Also, define the dimensions in the code. Now, a lot of content management systems, like WordPress, just does this now. You don't even have to really think about it in WordPress.
Does it?
I'm pretty sure it does.
Oh, okay.
When you've got the response, or maybe it's Divi specifically that does it.
No, you're right. You're probably right. I don't notice these things. You're in the code more often than I am.
Yeah. So if you don't define the dimensions of the image, that when the website loads, it will load, eventually it should look fine in most cases, but it kind of loads clunky and things bounce around, and that can actually hurt your cumulative layout shift, which I say wrong all the time, score with the page experience update, which has a very low impact these days, but that will increase. But by defining the dimensions, that helps with that. It helps keep your users from getting annoyed, and it can help with rankings apparently. And make sure you're, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to take the last two if you want.
Mobile
friendly, make their responsive. Now, what that really means is nothing to do with the images. It's just your outline of the page. And if you have, I guess there's a validity to this too when it comes to the image sizing. And I don't, you know, you're talking about image file structure where you can change it in WordPress. This is also something that's always sort of stuck out for me, and I never get a chance to remember to research it, but ensuring that there's a mobile version of an image so that it's not just shrinking the image to make it work on your phone, but it's actually designed for your phone. So what you can do when you're creating a desktop or creating a website of any kind is create different images for the different viewing ports, or so different handset sizes and stuff. It can get over crazy. You could do it for every type of handset if you wanted to. I'm not sure how much of that's automatically done in WordPress. Ideally, you would have something that's designed for that viewport. And that way, yes, you're still loading an image that's the same, it's just at a different dimension. And as a result, you can lower the file size dramatically. Are you aware about that or anything about that, Scott?
Not extensively, no.
No. Next is to include images in an XML sitemap. There is an image XML or image sitemap that you can have, and this is really helpful for Google image search, or at least it was. It's yet another thing I haven't had to really work on in a long time. Have you optimized an image or included image sitemaps? I think most of it's done automatically by Yoast these days.
Yeah, like things like Yoast and a lot of the XML sitemap plugins do it automatically. But, you know, every now and then we run into clients who, or we do audits on sites where they're not using plugins to do this kind of stuff. So, you know, if you're not using a plugin, you know, create one, or, you know, make sure you tick the option in the plugin to generate one, or find a plugin that does it, that sort of thing.
Yeah, cool. All right, we're going to round things out with something that John used to love to do, John Carcutt, and you've already put some down here, and I I might just go with yours because I haven't had a chance or anything, but I did have a little thing to add on the end. Anyway, these are predictions for 2022. What are we going to see? What's going to happen in the Googleverse and the search engine world here? So why don't you start with yours and I'll try and put a few together.
Yeah, I love, like, right as we're getting ready to do this podcast, Ross says, we should do some predictions today. Like, great. I've got to get really creative really fast. And I should have thought about this, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago and started putting something together. But if they're not as entertaining or accurate as they probably should be, that's just how it is. Because it'll be too late. The next episode, it'll be too late because then we're probably into February and nobody wants predictions in February. So I threw a few together here. The first one I threw up is, bad choice of words, is Google's core updates will continue on at least a quarterly interval or possibly more frequently. We've definitely seen over the past few years, core updates are becoming more and more frequent. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if we saw them monthly at some point. So there's that. And I think that's fairly, I don't know, I think that could happen. I think it's fairly likely that could happen. Page experience updates for desktop will have little to no effect, or nobody will notice. Which, if it's anything like the mobile page experience update that we saw in 2021, I feel like the desktop one will basically be the same. I do think that Core Web Vitals for mobile will increase in importance, although probably nominally. I think that Core Web Vitals, you know, like I said just a second ago, it launched with very little impact, really. But they are going to build from that. The page experience aspects are going to just grow in importance, and it'll probably be more incremental. We won't see any big boosts there, but expect that they will become more and more important as the years go on. Similar to how secure websites kind of had the same thing. Mobile friendly was kind of the same thing. I think we're going to see more and more people chat about AI generated content. John Mueller even said, I think it was in December, that AI-generated content is not entire. What did he say? It will likely be permitted within Google's terms soon. So right now they kind of are against it, but I feel like it's a no-brainer that it's going to come and it's going to grow and people are going to be chatting about it more and more. And the last two are sort of tongue-in-cheek, but I feel very possible. Google Business Profile will change names because it's been about every 18 months that they change names. So why not?
Yeah. Why not cut that in half and you make it just sometime this year. Yeah.
It could be an annual thing.
Yeah.
And also Google will shut down one of its popular services. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like Ross has a post on Facebook every few months. Like, damn you, Google. Why did you shut down blank?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I used to care and I used to do them. Now I stay the hell away from their new stuff. But you know, whatever they shut down was something you really, really love and need. Always.
Oh, for sure. It's going to be something critical. It's not some service you're like, what was it that they shut down? It's going to be something big. Like,
yeah, I think it's funny. Like one of the things that they launched and I stayed the hell away from hasn't shut down, ironically, and that's Google Keep. But I'm waiting, man. That's going to go.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, it's kind of like an Evernote for Google. That's the idea. Okay. Yeah, and they were pushing it pretty hard for a while there. So a few from me here. Google will improve local SEO policing, finally. You know, we've already seen, and it's sort of building on what they did in the end of 2021 with some, the biggest change to local SEO since the beginning, really. Where they really did clean up a lot of the issues, such as too much text, too much keyword stuffing in business names and stuff. Let's hope they continue that trend and do some more of that this year. I think one of the ones they could be focusing on a bit, it's going to be one of the hardest ones, and it's just probably pie in the sky, but looking at whether or not businesses who say they exist really do, and they could do that by using their local guides and providing some sort of an incentive for them to go and take a photo. You know, you get extra points if you take a photo of their latest location to see whether or not they really do have signage and stuff. And next, these are kind of fun. This one isn't even. Bing will steal more market share. Every year it seems to just tweak like another percentage point. Give it credit, man. It might just be the turtle that wins the game or at least impresses the crap out of us all, because it does seem to earn more and more market share. And it's really winning people over. Not me yet, but it's getting there. I have an allergy to too much Microsoft. It's bad enough I use Windows.
You know, I did, while you were talking, did, because I haven't looked up market share for a long time. We used to look it up probably monthly, and I do a little blog post about it, but I feel like nobody cares anymore. So I stopped. So I just quickly found a really quick chart. There's probably more if I kept digging, but Bing's global market share in the desktop realm has been steadily growing for about the past 10 years. In 2009, mm-hmm. they were at about 2%. 2021, they were right around 6%. And it's been kind of a steady increase for that whole period. So yeah, I feel like that's a pretty fair prediction.
Yeah. Privacy-based browsers and search platforms, I think, are going to be growing even more this year. There's just no end in sight in terms of people's distrust. And all it's going to take is yet another, and this is probably another reasonable guess, is that there'll be another, there'll be a Google version of the Facebook whistleblower at some point. Maybe this year, I'm hoping this year, that's going to show just how much crap they're doing. I just don't trust them anymore, man. Especially, you know, you think about these people who were kicked out of Google, actually fired because they were trying to enforce the don't be evil on Google, saying, "Hey, guys, why aren't you following this anymore?" And it makes you wonder just how much they can't talk about. That would be no surprise to me if that came out. But search sites like DuckDuckGo, I think, are just going to get more and more market share as well. Again, it's going to be small, but if any of these big changes happen, it could be a major leap too. When will Google have its own cryptocurrency? Will it be this year? There's so much cool stuff happening in that market that I wouldn't be surprised.
You just answered one of my predictions. Google will probably set up their own cryptocurrency soon, and then they'll cancel it by the end of the year.
Yeah, they'll all go on a big trip and just shut it down. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Anywho, those are a few for us. I think the other element, I guess, is e-commerce. I'd add to this, e-commerce experienced a massive boom throughout the COVID over the last few years. And I don't think that's going to slow too much. I know that Shopify is seeing some drops in stock. Its price went absurdly high. And there might be some correction there. And no, I'm not a stock guy, but I'm kind of keep track of Shopify because I'm fascinated with its growth. And maybe it will lose a little market share as more people spread out to different platforms. But e-commerce is killing it, and it's going to continue to, I'm sure of it. Well, there you go. We've got some tips there. Not bad for throw-togethers.
You know, I think we did all right, all things considered.
Well, we'll see whatever everyone else thinks. I'm sorry, guys, if you don't like it. I'm so sorry. All right. One sec here. Anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, man, I think my voice, I'm going to lose it soon here. I think I'm good.
All right. Okay. Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company senior SEO, Scott Van Ack, thanks for joining us today. Remember, we have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO101radio.com. Don't miss a single link, and you can refresh your memory of a past show at any time. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air every week on WMR.fm.
Great. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great 2022.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.